since the election of Donald Trump in 2016, there's been an increase in hate crimes nationally. The public has been shocked by incidents, including the killings of 11 Jewish worshipers at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, and most recently, 22 mostly Latinx people at a Walmart in El Paso. But subtler messages have also contributed to the climate of hate. I took a look at one incident that happened earlier this summer in Eugene. On June 12th, several downtown businesses were defaced with multiple red swastikas. A suspect still hasn't been found. Since then, the city of Eugene passed a resolution condemning white supremacy and resolved to stand in solidarity with those who oppose the ideology. Lindsay Schubiner is the program director with Western States Oregon, a nonprofit that works to confront white nationalism in the Pacific Northwest.
It provides some political leadership and a statement of core values for the city of Eugene and other cities that pass similar resolutions that say, we don't believe that this movement has a place here. We reject bigotry. And that helps to close that space that these groups have to operate in.
I interviewed Schubiner in July before the mass shooting in El Paso, where the gunman echoed Trump's language calling Latinx immigrants invaders. I asked her how hate graffiti should be viewed at a time when the Tree of Life synagogue shooting occurred less than a year ago.
Maybe there's a continuum of incidents of hate violence and the severity that goes from calling someone a name or graffiti on one hand, which does need to be taken seriously, to mass murder on the other. But I think to address it as though these things aren't related and part of a similar worldview is troubling and dangerous.
Schubiner says the risk of doing nothing is that the incidents may escalate. When news of the swastikas broke in Eugene, a debate stirred whether the incident warranted media response, suggesting that it was giving the perpetrator what they wanted.
That's tricky, because you don't want to overreact, because if you do, you give the perpetrators free publicity, some of which they are seeking.
That's Stephen Wasserstrom, a religion professor at Reed College, who focuses on Jewish studies. He says it's important for the community to set the tone in response to incidents. But he says regardless of who the perpetrator is, swastikas are never neutral.
It is never anything less than the most extreme of hate signs. There are some from the extreme right who say, oh, it's just an ancient Indian ornamental device, that sort of thing. But that's nonsense.
Wasserstrom says education is key when events like these happen, especially if the vandals are kids. The Oregon State Legislature passed a bill this year requiring Holocaust curriculum be taught in schools. It's set to roll out in 2020. Until then, people like Sabina Stark visit classrooms.
My parents came to the States in 1946. They came from a displaced persons camp in Munich, Germany, after the war. They had both been in Auschwitz and several other slave labor and concentration camps.
When Stark isn't out educating kids about her family history, she's home writing about her childhood. Her memoir details her experiences living with parents whose trauma followed them until they passed.
We moved a lot. My parents had a very hard time, particularly my father had a very hard time keeping a job because he was, they never really felt that the war was over. They thought that people were still trying to kill them.
Stark says she developed a sense for social justice, leading her to help found the advocacy group Showing Up for Racial Justice, or SURGE. I asked what news of the hate graffiti meant to her.
I struggle with the line between free speech and incitement to killing, because in other countries where there have been Nazis, people aren't allowed to do that.
She says she sees parallels between the U.S. treatment of immigrant families and Nazi concentration camps. The Southern Poverty Law Center lists 7 hate groups that align with neo-Nazi and racist ideologies in Oregon. That reality, in combination with the state's history, makes it difficult for minority populations to ignore incidents like swastika graffiti. Eric Ward is with Western States Center. He says targeted groups are fearful.
They don't go out to dinner. They don't walk to get ice cream in the downtown because they're afraid something might happen to them. And if we remain silent, there's no reason they shouldn't believe that.
Ward says there's a singular line that leads from white supremacist groups in the 1920s to post-civil rights white nationalism.
The state still struggles with equity and opportunity because of that historic legacy. But it's not just historic. History never sits in the past. It always feeds and creates conditions that we confront in the present.
Warden Wasserstrom urged people not to overreact to incidents like hate graffiti, but it's important to remain vigilant because the normalization of swastikas, Wasserstrom says, could be a catalyst for more serious crimes. Mallory Begay, KLCC News.